Good morning. Today is the 4th of April. Joining us this morning from the Sheriff's Department is number two.
Good morning.
Is that a positive statement? That means that there's always a higher authority you can defer to.
Yeah, I'm good with orders and rules, and if I know what my job is, I feel like I can do a good job. So.
Oh, come on. You don't want to have different tasks on a daily basis that come at you from surprise? I thought that's kind of what being a cop was.
I do have that, but it's in a different capacity now.
Yeah.
I'm like a consigliere now.
I see. Aren't those the guys with the big long jackets and the Tommy guns underneath?
I think they're just fixers. I think
Yeah. I'm thinking more of an East Coast, perhaps a European background.
It sounds cooler than secretary or body double.
Junior assistant.
Or bodyguard.
JD Bro is with us this morning because I guess, what, Billy's out of town or just didn't feel like showing up this morning?
He was unavailable.
I see.
Part of my job would be to protect him, right?
Disclosing on live air
where he is.
Yeah, and you didn't feel like shooting me. Good.
You know, I use my mind and my mouth
at this
more
point
than anything else.
Yeah, okay. Are you ready for your question?
Sure.
Oh, you could get in so much trouble on this, but okay. How did we start celebrating Mother's Day?
Well, I don't know if this is an actual answer, but I think this would score me points with the masses that I think every day should be a celebration of Mother's Day since they're the reason we're all here. Drop the mic. Are we done? Can I just walk away now?
Yeah, you'll take one in the back if you do.
Well, my plates are in the back already.
Okay. In 1907, Miss Anna Jarvis of West Virginia asked guests to wear a white carnation to the church service on the anniversary of her mother's death. But Mother's Day became increasingly commercial, and Miss Jarvis spent the rest of her life trying to restore to its simplicity. Okay, I was aware of that part. The strain of her efforts to stop Mother's Day and what it had become led her into an insane asylum where she died alone in 1948.
That's a somber
end
to that fact.
Let's go get a Hallmark card.
But on that same note, I think it is interesting that we only give one day a year to mothers to celebrate, where we give weeks and months to other groups.
Are you kidding?
Mothers are so universal.
Are you kidding? How many days does a father get?
Same thing, but I think that we
and who gets flowers throughout the year?
Well,
and recognitions.
Mothers should.
And yeah.
You're starting to make me wonder if I've fulfilled that son obligation now, that maybe I'm not doing enough.
You know, if the shoe fits.
If you're listening, reach out and thank your mom whenever you have the chance.
Oh, boy.
Whoever you are.
What do you want, rose petals when you get back to the office?
There are a lot of appreciation weeks in the professional world that if you're not careful and keep up on, you will miss, and people pay attention to it. And it's never that I wouldn't want to recognize people, but there's so many, and they're constantly being created or
yeah, the Hallmark
incepted. Yeah, I mean that you're like, wow, we need to think of a way to make this where we're remembering this, make sure we recognize everybody. But right. I always tell people, I don't want to just recognize you one week or day of the year. Like, I should be recognizing you more often. If
so, you buy pizzas once a week or once a month?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. Is how do I afford to do all the extra recognition for people that?
So it's mind and money.
You can't use county funds for that type of stuff. So it's got to come out of.
Well, you know the big boy. He can kick off a couple of bucks to buy pizza.
I don't know his financial situation, and I don't want to know. But he's very generous. He is.
Yeah. Yeah. Your overcoat's outside in the lobby, isn't it? Oh, what is the biggest surprise people have, JD, about your job?
The title.
That the title, what it entails, or that there is a title, or that you have the title?
All of those. I would say one of the things that comes up a lot is the actual name. Like, what the heck is an undersheriff? What does that mean? And I even... in as an appropriate way as I can.
Kind of sounds like a mortician, doesn't it?
Well, or get jeers from people in line if I happen to wear a shirt that says my title, and I'll have some teenage cashier go, "What is an undersheriff? Is that how you got your job?" Like, I'm like, "Hey, that's not appropriate." But I did some research on it because there's other titles for second command in sheriff's offices,
going other
all
options.
The way back to Europe and, yeah. and the original sheriffs. And the undersheriff is one of the oldest titles in the history of that stuff. There's also assistant sheriffs, deputy chiefs, chief deputies, there assistant command. I mean, there's all these other ones, but undersheriff, as far as I could tell in some of my research, goes back to being one of the oldest titles.
So it's one of the most historical.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to, you know, the original sheriffs who policed the sheriffs in England.
And collected and taxes. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I mean, yeah. so, I mean, if you look at the historical and nostalgic part, that's cool, but undersheriff is not the coolest title.
Nah, you know what would be, I mean, cool, and I don't know if it would be sanctioned or not, but to get a smarty series of t-shirts either with logos or icons or definitions.
Yeah.
Undersheriff. Da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. Yeah.
IR one. I mean, just something like that so you can kind of get people to think a little bit, or at least have a
people
laugh.
Ask what it means all the time, and really it's just the first deputy sheriff underneath the sheriff. I'm still a deputy sheriff. I just have, based on the way that law enforcement is now much more like shaped like a professional business, there's management, there's supervision, there's chain of command, unity of command, and I just happen to be at a point where I'm higher up in the organization as far as overseeing things, more inside and beans and bullets types things than what I grew up doing. You know, I mean,
it's a management position,
right? You become a cop, and you never, I don't think anybody's goal when they get into law enforcement is to become a business manager. Like, it wasn't mine. I enjoyed being out there and solving problems for people at the ground level. And I still can go out and do that sometimes, but I have a lot of other responsibilities that are stuff that really you would be benefited to have like a management or a business degree to do. So there's a steep learning curve both professionally and personally to move into that, and it's challenging. I won't say it's not.
Well, and that's one of the questions a lot of folks have is, you know, does it make sense to have a gun or a badge in a budgetary position? And, well, and now you know what the functions are, so
yeah,
that helps, versus somebody from the outside that is a budgeter but really doesn't understand the functions.
Yeah, and then I think both are needed.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Undersheriff J.D. Breaux. The concept of the structure of the organization is one that's interesting. You know, as some of the challenges are coming in, and I don't know if you get to play budget or not, I suspect that you have input.
I would say that we have financial people with all the credentials that are wonderful, right, that do that. I would be lying if I said that I'm the guy that figures out the budget.
No, but they talk to you.
Part of what I bring is some of the subject matter expertise for what law enforcement needs and why. And I still think that that's not me. That's a culmination of a bunch of competent managers and supervisors who bring us input from the field on what's needed. And we bring that to the financial people. And we try to come to what we need, and then we take it to the board of supervisors and try to make it work and explain why we need what we need.
It would be interesting. I don't know if you could etch a sketch of county. So you had a clean slate, no history, right? So you didn't have anybody protecting the inertia of existing or historical. And how would you design it? You know, would you have a department of grant writers? Would you have a bookkeeping department? But all, you know, if they would be available to access by any department at any time. So it would be like they were part of your staff, but maybe their desks were located somewhere else. Okay. And kind of do it from a hub and spoke perspective rather than a series of silos, which I kind of think is, and I know we have a hybrid here in Humboldt because of the management structure with the CAO and with the SOUPs. But it would be interesting to see how different that would be. Or would it be very similar? And you just kind of go, okay, well, that good for you guys, but we're going to keep everything the way that it is here.
I think it's relevant to what you know and what you don't know. I mean, the grass is greener where you water it. So, I mean, you think things are greater elsewhere with a different makeup, but you just never know. And you ultimately have to make things the best you can for where you're at in your life. Like when I coach youth, I tell the kids, everybody wants to be a
certain position. When you dunk, don't go behind your head.
Yeah, no.
You know, thinking that the kid, you know, kids
I've never
can't
coached
dunk.
Anybody that could dunk. Yeah, but I'm saying like in the capacity of, you know, you may, based on a multitude of reasons, want to do or be certain things in your life. At some point, you have to realize your genetic ceiling or something else limits you to other things. So don't, instead of being upset about what you can't be the best you can be for where you're able to get.
Focus on what you got.
And I think that transcends jobs, professions. I mean, it's just trying to find, you know, some sort of neutrality in how you.
I'm glad you didn't say happy space.
I'm not even sure what that means.
Good, good. We'll keep it that way too. You know, as long as you don't say collaboration, we're going to part friends.
I do use that word a lot because in county government, everything is spread out so much between houses. It's
I know. But
having worked at a police department and a sheriff's office,
you can meet.
Big difference.
You can gather. Yeah, yeah. when you guys are out of town and you go to the various conventions, how many of the ideas that are the current sheriff's department, percentage-wise, have come from others that have been adopted and morphed and worked with and created and made your own, made Humboldt County's, but the initial idea came from networking?
I would say almost everything. There's a lot of mechanisms where people in my position or the sheriff or cap can reach out to all other.
You mean the under sheriff? Counties.
Yes. the titles get.
You're going to have a long t-shirt by the time of this show.
The titles get more militaristic as you go down. Yeah. Mine's an unusual one, but there's a lot of mechanisms for reaching out because A, someone's probably already done it. B, you know, the greatest ideas can come from anywhere, and why remake the wheel? So we're constantly. I don't think I've ever had an original idea in law enforcement that I brought that was successful. I mean, everything comes from somewhere, and you know.
Well, if you're a hunter gatherer, it doesn't have to be meat; it can be ideas.
And isn't it flattering to copy in some capacity? I mean, I'm not saying plagiarism, but I'm saying if somebody else has already identified a problem and come up with a solution to it, why wouldn't we model that solution in our area as much?
Why wouldn't
possible?
You say plagiarize? It's not like you're turning in a term paper.
Right.
Making a
speech. That's what I mean. I'm not advocating plagiarism of
copyrighted material.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if you can take and replicate something,
I think you'd be a fool
Toledo.
Not to
take
lessons learned from other places, whether it be a critical incident or infrastructure or budget or, you know, how we're dealing with changing laws and changing
how to buy
societal
supplies.
Problems.
I mean, it can be real basic stuff too. It doesn't have to be the fancy stuff.
Homelessness or houselessness is another really big one right now that everybody is asking each other, what are you doing? How are you doing this? Because laws continue to change. There's always been a bunch of reasons that people end up in those situations, but I think they're changing with society too, and how they're being dealt with and modeled is different. So we're constantly reaching out to each other, asking for ideas on what's worked well.
Yeah, it's a pretty fluid situation.
It has to be because the laws keep changing too. And the scope of the people we're dealing with those situations continues to change. So
when you guys start crossing boundaries, mental health was one I was thinking, you know, with the homeless. Mm-hmm. Is that a different skill set, or does the equivalent of the person in the other department, does everybody just have shared responsibility instead of one being the ultimate decision maker?
Well, dealing with mental health is absolutely a special skill set, and there are qualified professionals that are in title and profession the ones who are best suited to deal with that. law enforcement's in a unique position where even though, and I don't even, law enforcement is a tool of our job. I know we're called law enforcement all the time. I really think that we're peacekeepers and using law, you know, enforcement of law as a tool we use to bring solutions to problems. But we'll talk about this at the end of the break.
Yes, mental health. That's my long suit. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with J.D. Bro, undersheriff for the County of Humboldt. The concept, J.D., of having mental health not only be recognized, and I think that's probably been the case for, 15, 20 years, that a fair amount of your regulars need some help.
In the span of my career, it has exponentially increased, for sure.
Yeah. Where do you see it going? Go out plus 10. Okay, now do you have sworn officers that have psychology degrees? Do you have mental health professionals that, and I suppose they probably already could have a conceal and carry, but that go to the target range and are, versed in some of the things that are just the day-to-day stuff that you guys do? Do you see a melding of the two areas?
I think the assessment of how that best works is underway and has been underway for several years, if not longer, because the world has changed and needs that. We, as law enforcement, receive a lot of training in dealing with people in crisis, but it'd be insulting to say that we can do the same job as a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And so that bridging of the gap and bringing those people into the field under protection to get them to people in need and to get the right services to people so that law enforcement doesn't have to deal with things outside of what their expertise would be is important and is happening. The perfect makeup of that, I don't know if it is discovered, but I think that's only one part of a multifaceted problem. I think that a big part of it too is where do they go? Like,
yeah, once the event is done,
right,
now what?
Right. A facility, outpatient, you know, assisted live. I mean, it's so varied on what people's needs are and the poly drug influence can, you know, exacerbating mental health issues compounds the problem in 100 different ways. Our big thing is that we want to make sure we have a trained workforce that can be that gap to get people safely to the next level of treatment that's needed that we can't provide. And it used to be that we would have to bring people somewhere, and now it's definitely moved in a direction where we're working with mental health professionals farther away from the offices, into the field, bringing them into calls, even up into critical incidents where we have them coming to critical incidents as part of our crisis negotiation
team. That's what I was saying, part of the negotiation
right,
team.
Right, and because the sooner we can get them involved to use their expertise, the more likely a successful outcome for all, where everybody goes home, is more feasible. It's a lot of pressure, and we talked about in the break that although deputy sheriffs and police officers receive mental health training and how to deal with people in crisis, we have so many other hats to wear. We will never have an expertise level. Now, there is a push in California to require like bachelor's degrees or some sort of higher level education for law enforcement, but I don't think that it's necessarily going the direction where it has to be psychiatry or psychology or something that would be relevant to that. So I don't even know if that's a method that's going to change any of that. I think that there's always bad eggs, right? But people that get into law enforcement get into it for the right reasons most of the time and are good people. We have a pretty stringent background process to try to weed out people that shouldn't have that level of authority and power. But even when we get the perfect candidate into these positions, you're putting them into, whether it's in a custody setting or in a field setting, dealing with people in crisis that is mental health, age-related, and or exacerbated by drugs and alcohol, or you know, generational trauma. You have, it's an unfixable thing for law enforcement by itself. So the collaboration, which you told me not to use, is underway and has been for a while, but I still think we're fine-tuning and trying to learn from geographic areas, sharing what's working in one area, what's not, and really the part that's out of our hands, but we're trying to help with, is the infrastructure need, that we need places that are set up to safely deal with people in crisis. We have right now all of the people that are taken on holds that they're in crisis have to go to our emergency rooms first before they get pushed into,
which is the goofy place to take them.
Well, in some,
unless there's a physical,
in some areas they have medical facilities that are outfitted for that. They have areas that are
psych, like a psych unit,
right? And we don't have that because for years we had Semper Virens, which is they would go directly to there if they weren't needing medical attention first, right. Or you know. So now we're in this conundrum where we have unsafe working conditions for our medical personnel. We have, if you're going in for an electable or non-election treatment, you might be sitting in the hallway with people who are in a mental crisis, who are in no restraints or soft restraints, who are no longer under guard of law enforcement because they've been turned over this hold to medical, and you have this melting pot of bad things that could happen, and it's a big infrastructure shortfall that we have in our area, which hurts everybody.
The liability associated with that would be so horrifically large that money would be thrown at it from every quadrant to deal with it, however, you know, whatever the solution is, but that just to avoid lawsuits. I mean, particularly with the way that the county tends to get sued on a regular basis,
right,
and settle on a regular basis, and lots of zeros and commas. You take 2 or 3 years of that, and you got a new structure, and you got staff, and you've got safety.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes down to money, and whether these medical facilities are privately or publicly owned, and
privately owned,
it has to be about money at some point. And if you know, treatment of mental health is not a big money maker, how can they justify to all their shareholders that they're going to put 6, 7, 8 figure? You know, sums down to expand facilities for, and what is that getting paid back?
I'm thinking the Semper Virens expansion. I don't know if it's happening or not. I know I was kind of beating the drum. Just knock down General Hospital. Just start all over, and make the whole block or two blocks a receiving treatment facility. Period. End of story. You guys pull up like the old ambulances used to do.
Yeah.
Somebody meets you, greets you. Takes the individual,
that's the
escorted
way,
runs escorted,
on and a good day, they that's get the treatment. Worked. Yeah. I think that there's nobody that doesn't want that. I mean, all sides, the mental health, you know, DHHS, the private entities, the hospitals, law enforcement. I mean, we have talks all the time about this, and I genuinely.
Is there any traction?
Yeah, we all want the same thing, but it's a matter of finding out how that works. And, you know, law enforcement isn't private security, so once we've fulfilled our lawful obligations to turn somebody over to the professionals to handle the type of situation they're in, crisis or otherwise, like they're left in a situation where they may
their
be
staff has
still
to have,
danger. Yeah, and so then if they don't have the proper facilities to make it safe for their employees and the other people who are seeking treatment at those facilities, then it's kind of a powder keg.
But it's a staffing issue for them.
Well, I think it
yeah,
makes
okay.
it hard
they need
to,
nurses,
to keep them
they
here.
They need psychs. They need this. They need that. And one of those that's that they need is some muscle.
Yeah,
okay. That's all part of that whole formula when you're trying to figure out how to run this thing.
I'll
how
say this. I don't think we could go wrong with more facilities and staff to deal with mental health people in our area. And that's not just so we can get rid of them, but it's also so they're humanely dealt with, because what right now we
address,
have people with mental health concerns. Issues who are living in the green belts in the woods and being victimized on the streets, and that's if people say that's more humane than somebody being in a safe facility, but maybe, you know, not free to come and go as they will, I think that that's a moral dilemma that everybody has to ask themselves. But me, with the suffering I've seen myself of these people, I don't see how that's a humane existence either, you know?
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with J.D. Bro from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. J.D., as you're looking at some of these new challenges, whether it's technology-based, cyber crimes, all that kind of stuff, dealing with vernaculars and jargon that doesn't include that C word, mental health, public pressure, all these various things. How do you train the troops? How do you keep them, doing job one, but also making sure they don't step in number two?
Well, thankfully, we continue to hire new generations of people who are more tech savvy, who have grown up with it. I think a lot of the people that weren't as tech savvy are getting towards the twilight of their careers.
Pushed out. Go ahead, you can say it.
It's a constant training. I mean, and technology is absolutely something we want and evolve with. It's a safe thing. I mean, there's departments that send drones into air to calls for service before they ever put bodies in. You know, assess the scene, see so you're not walking into something where you have to have young deputies or officers make split-second decisions that involve life and death without being able to see the bigger picture. So, but on the flip side, the level of complexity with cyber crimes like fraud and identity theft are mind-blowing. And
it's stuff we never worried about before.
Right. And just a quick elevator version of a case I took a couple of years ago, and I'm doing another one right now. So if you're listening and you're one of the suspects, I'm coming for you. But this older kid, this lady had been called, and she had been duped into giving money to some fraudsters. And I worked the case and I followed up, and I was trying to work with the banking institutions and had a hard time getting a hold of anybody in the fraud department. Finally, I got a hold of somebody and they were like, "Well, what are you calling for?" And I was like, "Well, because I want to figure out who these suspects are." And there, it seems like they're, on the East Coast, and they're like, "Well, why? We're not like, we've just written it off."
I mean, why do you care?
Part of the doing business. She's like, "We don't get people that call to this level looking for people because we basically it's written off." And I don't remember the number, so I'm ad-libbing here, but the lady I was speaking with was like, "Do you have any idea how many of these fraud cases and how much money it is per year that nobody's following up from your level on? Like, there's no FBI task force that's doing, there's an insane amount, I mean millions and millions, maybe billions, that are being stolen from people through fraud, through banking, through businesses, through all this stuff. And a lot of it is either international or cross-national, where it crosses...
It really gets complicated.
It crosses jurisdictional lines, complicates investigations, and nobody is informed. I mean, it's just wide open. And how do you investigate that? And how do you teach new officers to deal with the technology that keeps changing, spoofing bank numbers and using actual bank numbers and text messages from the actual bank numbers to call people and question them about their account or try to dupe them? I mean, we go through tons of security training internally for our own emails and our databases because they're constantly being hacked. And there's even sophisticated groups which do ransomware stuff where they could steal your whole system, hold it hostage, and I know that's happened to other law enforcement agencies, even the state of California, where they had to pay to
serious money
get their databases back under their control. So it's a huge problem, and I mean I'm all for all the technological advances at the street level and all that stuff, but I'm still waiting for the technological advances on the back end for that stuff because I'm unaware of like a task force that helps local and smaller law enforcement out.
Or maybe even an industry attempt. Yeah, I mean, financial services industry. I mean, if it's that many zeros, now, if they don't make people good, okay, fine, then it's just a cost. But if they're making people good, oh, my gosh, how much money could they set aside? And then I would think that would be a great marketing tool.
If you're a former hacker and you're looking for to come to the other side and you want to start a business or create something to help protect, I mean, I think there's definitely a market for that as technology continues to evolve.
I know you're too young, but when BART started, they had a problem with people not paying. So they had their regulars that they would catch. They hired five of them, gave them six figures, and said, beat the system. Tell us how to beat this, how to stop it. Yeah. Beat the system again. Tell us. And they ended up being able to secure, I mean, still losing a ton of money, but you harden the target, I guess is your guy's phrase.
Absolutely.
But why not do that? Yeah, and same thing with the shoplifting. You know, I think a lot of folks are familiar, what is it, $800 or $900, something like that, and nothing, there's not even a filing for people that are shoplifting.
Yeah.
And you see these folks going around with calculators, and then they walk out and nobody touches them. Well, all those poor people, bull. Multiply that by 10 or 15 people an hour, a day, by the month, by the year. How much extra are you paying as a consumer? Because people are just too lazy or don't feel like prosecuting him, or
we all pay for those crimes because it changes
every single
everything.
Store that you go to. Yes. I mean, it's amazing. Oh well, okay, I feel better. Do you?
Yes.
Nice to see you again, bud.
Good to see you too.
See everyone tomorrow.